The Mission Prayer Network recently held a deliverance conference here in Charlotte, and one of the things we did was we included what we call a School of the Prophets. A School of the Prophets is a series of teachings on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and ministry gifts and how to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then it's followed by a practicum or a practice session, a time where the folks who have been sitting under the teaching get a chance to actually practice letting the Holy Spirit move through them and letting the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate in them. This is another in the series of teachings on the gifts of the Holy Spirit during the School of the Prophets.
So we walk up to the counter, and both ladies behind the counter, especially this one, just ignores us. And right after we walk up, somebody else walks up behind us, and this lady looks around us as if we're invisible and takes this other couple's order. Debbie and I thought, that's weird. And then pretty soon another lady comes in, an older woman. She's an American woman. And she starts talking to the lady behind the counter, places her order. This lady understood her just fine. What is going on here? And so the spirit of discernment kicked in. And the Lord said, that's an evil spirit that has control of her. I went, oh, okay. And so we stepped back away from the counter. Now, I was about as far from her as I am to this lady with the green dress on right here. And it was a very noisy restaurant. And very quietly, just Debbie sitting, standing right next to me, could barely hear it. I said, now, Satan, I take authority over you, and I bind you up, and I drive you away from this woman and from this place, and you leave this place and leave us in Jesus' name. When I did that, two things happened. As soon as I said the word Satan, this lady had been working on an order. She looked up and looked me right in the eye, and then she looked back down at that order. She didn't know what was going on, but that spirit did. That spirit knew he was about to get evicted. As soon as I finished that prayer, she finished up the order. She looked up from that order at us, smiled real big, and said, can I help you and take your order? And she was very nice and very cordial to us the whole rest of the time. What would we have done had discerning of spirits not been available to us? Had we not been yielded to the Holy Spirit to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit had to say? Paul says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities. You know, but you don't know that without this gift in operation. Okay, the next two gifts, we're going to cover these hopefully fairly quickly. This gift of tongues, and that's supernaturally speaking in a language that you have not learned. Again, I have listened to Bible scholars and great men of God who don't believe in miracles and such. And they'll say, well, you know, this is the gift of learning to speak languages so that you can go evangelize other peoples. No, that's not what this is. This is a gift of speaking in a language that you've never learned. Debbie and I have some friends that have ministered in Russia a lot. And one time they came back from a ministry trip in Russia, and they said it was really cool. We prayed for a little peasant girl who probably had never heard English before she came to our meeting. And, of course, we had an interpreter. But anyway, we prayed for this little peasant girl to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, she began to speak in tongues to her. But you know what? It was English to us. And it was perfect accent, Noah. And we understood it all. She was praising God in English. I was at a pastor's conference one time, and we were worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord. And there was a time where we were praying in the Spirit, and I was praying in the Spirit. And a Spanish pastor who was there sitting across the table from me afterwards invited me to come to his church the next morning for church service. And I did. It was a Spanish church that was in Spanish, you know, as you'd expect, no English. And after the service, he was so excited. Well, what did you think of the service? I thought, boy, it was really great. I could really feel the Holy Spirit move. Of course, I couldn't understand a word of it, but that's okay. And he looked at me, what are you talking about? You couldn't understand a word of it. I said, well, I don't speak any Spanish, so, you know. Well, yeah, you speak Spanish. I heard you speaking Spanish yesterday. You were speaking perfect Spanish. You were praising God in Spanish. Well, if I was, it was news to me, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verses 18 and 19. Paul makes a profound statement here, especially if you look at it in the literal translation. 1 Corinthians 14:18 through 19. He says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. Paul likes speaking in tongues. I like speaking in tongues. I know why he likes it. He says, however, in church, I desire to speak 5 words with my mind that may instruct others, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. What Paul is talking about here is a public manifestation of tongues. And I contend that tongues can happen in public and tongues can happen in private. Okay, it can be a personal prayer language, something that you're, as you pray, it's just between you and God. It's not involving anybody else, but sometimes it involves someone else. And we'll get to interpretation of tongues. If it's a public display of tongues, if right now I stopped and started praying in tongues in a, especially a forceful way, as if I was preaching now, and then stopped, I would expect either me or somebody else to have the interpretation of that. Otherwise, I shouldn't be speaking in tongues out loud with everybody listening. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference between public and private. 1 Corinthians 14:27 through 28. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by one or two, at the most three, and each in turn, and then let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So he's talking about letting him speak in tongues to himself and to God. You see, the private version. Now, I say public. I have watched people praying by themselves, and all of a sudden they'll have a message in tongues, and then they'll interpret it, and it's for them. So, you know, it's kind of like tongues interpretation. It's sort of like the public thing, but there's only one person there. Do you understand what I mean? Don't want to box this in too much. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 2. Paul explains what speaking in tongues is. He said, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And he's talking about private use of tongues right now. What does the word edify mean? It means to build up. So people that are speaking in tongues are building themselves up. I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't speak in tongues on a regular basis. And especially when I start, if something happens or I feel down or I feel glum or sad, I know I can go speak in tongues. I can go spend some time praising the Lord and praying in the Spirit, as it were. Sometimes when we talk about people speaking in tongues by themselves, we're talking about they're praying in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, it turns my life around at the time. It makes all the difference in the world. He goes on to say, but he who prophesies edifies or builds up the church. Well, of course, if you're going to give a message from God to the church, that's going to build them up. If I speak in tongues to you now, what do you get out of it? Nothing, right? I would, but you wouldn't. So, 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. In his spirit, he speaks mysteries. He's talking about someone who is speaking in tongues here. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Listen, when you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying through you. This is a supernatural gift, and the purpose of it is that God needs people praying his will to be done. He needs people that are praying exactly what needs to be done in exactly the right way, and sometimes our minds can't even comprehend that. If the Lord told us, this is how I want you to pray for this person for this reason, we go, I don't understand that. Why? What? I can't do that. But you know what? We pray for him in the Spirit. The Lord can pray for him in his perfect will. Going on to verse 5. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Listen, when there's some folks that say, well, you know, the gift of tongues is for some and it's not for others. And yes, the Lord gave me the gift of tongues 40 years ago and I haven't spoken in tongues since. That's not God's perfect will. I can promise you that. Paul says, I wish all of you spoke in tongues. Now he says, I'd rather you all prophesied. Because it's a little more difficult to prophesy. You have to be a little bit more yielded to the Holy Spirit to hear a word of prophecy. But the point is, he wants us to speak in tongues. Matter of fact, remember when I read Mark 16 last night? The last words of Jesus here on earth. What were one of the signs that he said would follow all who believe? They'd speak in new tongues, right? He's not talking about they're going to learn Greek or something, you know. He's talking about they're just going to speak in the Holy Spirit, this gift. 1 Corinthians 14:39, last verse on this. Therefore, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Last gift that we're going to talk about. I talked about, 10 or 11 gifts. I think there are more spiritual gifts than that. We just don't have time to cover them all. Start seeking the Lord. Lord, I want you to use me in every gift you got. Just open me up. Show me where they are. Let's go. Interpretation of tongues. As I was saying before, this is a public revelation of a public outburst of tongues. You'll notice that it doesn't say translation of tongues. This gift isn't called translation. This gift is called interpretation. There's a big difference. When I preach in a place where they only know Swahili, and about all I can say is Bwana Safiwe. Now, if we're around Kikuyus, I can say Mwathani Agosho, right?
Oh, hallelujah.
But that's about it. That and the food, you know. Gima. I can say Gima. Okay. So there have been times when we've ministered where Father Lawrence has acted as my interpreter. And I'll say something in English, and then he'll interpret that in Swahili or Kikuyu or whatever. And sometimes I know enough of the language that he's interpreting in to know he didn't translate what I said. He interpreted what I said. But that's okay, because we all have different idioms and we have different ways that we talk. And my prayer when I work with an interpreter, my prayer is, Lord, I want me and that interpreter to be operating in exactly the same spirit, so that he is just as anointed as I am, so that he interprets properly. I don't want him translating what I say. I want him interpreting in the Holy Spirit. See? And so an interpreter brings his own viewpoint, brings his own slant to things.
His own worldview.
Yeah, he brings his own worldview. That's exactly the right way to put it. Just like all of the prophets and all the writers of the Bible brought their own worldview to what they wrote. This is how God likes to do it. Okay? And so that interpretation that someone spoke in tongues in public and now you're going to interpret that, you may have heard that interpretation as words. You may have heard it as seen it as a picture, and now you're just going to describe the picture. I've been in the situation where the Lord gave me an interpretation, and I had about the first four words of the interpretation. And this guy was speaking in tongues for about 4 minutes, you know, and I'm going like, wow, all I got is the first four words, Lord, now what am I going to do? But if I would say those first four words, then the Lord, as I said those, he would give me the next four or five, and then he'd give me the next six or eight, and then he'd, you know, continue on until it was finished. Sometimes you just have to step out there in faith. One time, Debbie and I were going through a very difficult financial situation. The Lord was taking care of us. He had given us a house to live in, rent-free, for 6 months. Just a supernatural thing. And right after we moved into that house, I lost my job. And boy, there were not much prospects of a job. The economy was kind of like it is now, maybe not quite as bad. And I couldn't find a job. And boy, we were just wondering, oh, Lord, what are we supposed to do? The 6 months on this place runs out soon. Now what are we going to do? And we're just sitting on the couch together down in the den praying. And the Lord gave a message in tongues. And then I had the interpretation. And the interpretation was in the form of a picture. And so I had to give the interpretation as just a description of the picture I saw to Debbie, so she would be encouraged. The picture was of a stormy, very dark, stormy night. Have you ever been out at night when there's a thunderstorm going on? It's really dark. And about the only time you can see what's around you is when there's a flash of lightning. That's the way this was. And so when the first flash of lightning came, I could see that I was standing on a pedestal. And I couldn't see the bottom of the chasm that this pedestal was in. And that there were other pedestals standing in this chasm. And obviously, if you missed a pedestal, you'd fall down in the bottom of this chasm. It would not go well with you if you did. But as soon as the lightning flashed, I could see just enough to find the next pedestal to step onto. And so I stepped on that one in this picture. And then I had to just wait there in the dark. until the next flash of lightning came. Like, oh, there's the next one. And then I could step on that next pedestal. Lord was, of course, explaining to us, and I didn't need to interpret this for Debbie. And by the way, if the Lord gives you that kind of picture, that kind of interpretation of tongues, or that kind of prophecy, or that kind of word, don't try to interpret it for whoever the Lord is giving it to. Let them interpret it, okay? And so I just told her the picture that I saw. And of course, we both knew what that meant. It meant that God was going to take care of us, but he wasn't going to show us what was going on until it was time to act. He wanted us to just sit tight with him and relax in him and know that he was going to take care of us, and it would look scary, but when something needed to be done, he'd take care of it, and it would be just in time. Tongues interpretation. Well, now we'll bring this back full circle, talking about definitions and things. Definition of a spiritual gift is that it comes from and through the Holy Spirit. These gifts are entirely and completely from God to accomplish what no human could ever accomplish in themselves. And we and our efforts, our talents, our gifts have absolutely nothing to do with spiritual gifts. We are simply the vessel through which these flow. So spiritual gifts don't come from us. They don't come from our talents, our background, our capabilities. We can't learn how to give a word of wisdom, but we can learn how to hear a word of wisdom, right? We can learn how to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And so there really is some learning that goes along with this, but it's learning how to get out of the way, how to hear the voice of God, and how to know it's the voice of God speaking, not my voice speaking, not my own thoughts. You have to learn how to keep your thoughts and opinions and your advice to yourself. You know, when we start to pray for somebody, they're in need, it's real tempting to say, hey, this is my chance. I've been waiting to give them a piece of my mind and some advice for a long time. They need this. And boy, we want to pray our advice for them, right? And give them counsel and our wisdom. And my contention is, when somebody asks us to pray for them, they don't want our advice. They don't want to know what we think. They want to know what God thinks. And they want to hear from God. And it's our responsibility as stewards of these giftings to allow the Holy Spirit to move through us without us getting in the way. And no matter what you think of them or what they ought to be doing, the only thing you ought to be praying, the only thing you ought to be telling them is what you hear from the Spirit of God. And that takes some practice, doesn't it? Matter of fact, sometimes we just have to learn how to hear from the Spirit so we'll know how to pray for people. So there is some learning that has to be done. And like any other learning experience, you learn best by practicing, you learn best by making mistakes, and you learn best by getting feedback from the Holy Spirit and from others. Notice I said making mistakes. We have kind of put prophets and preachers and folks like that up on a pedestal somewhere where they're supposed to be perfect now and they can't make any mistakes. Well, I can tell you from experience, that just ain't right. Sometimes I get it wrong. And you just have to say, well, I got it wrong that time. What went wrong? How come I didn't hear that properly? You know, that's the only way you can learn, right? By experience, by practice. And this is a safe environment here to make a mistake. This is a safe environment to try something, to be risky. And, well, I'm just going to say what I think the Lord says and have everybody else go, nah, that wasn't the Lord. That's okay. That's okay. Let's put ourselves in a safe place where we can receive that sort of thing, where we can give that kind of criticism in love and where we can receive it in love. Okay, now, remember in the Old Testament where it talks about the school of the prophets? What do you think they did at the school of the prophets? I think they learned how to weave baskets and cook. I don't think so. I think what they did was they were learning how to hear God, how to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, and how to learn how to allow spiritual gifts to flow through them. I mean, think about it for a minute. Think about Elijah and Elisha. Did they just prophesy? Is that the only thing they ever did? No, they worked. What other gifts worked through them? Working of miracles, right? Healing worked through them. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, supplications, intercessions. God would tell them, pray that it won't rain for 3.5 years. Okay, God, that's how I'll pray. They prayed that way. Well, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then God tell them, okay, now, pray that it will rain. See, that's that gift of how to pray, a gift of supplication or intercession. So these guys were operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think the school of the prophet was all, school of the prophets was all about how do we learn to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They had to learn how to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit move through them, you know. And so we're going to have a bit of a school of the prophets here where you can practice in a safe but Holy Spirit charged environment, okay? And if you'll let him, I promise that the Holy Spirit will move through you today. Let me tell you how we're going to do this, okay? We're going to break up into groups of three. And there's a rule about who you can pray with. It has to be somebody you don't know. And if you know everybody in this room, then it has to be somebody that you know the least well. Okay? And the reason I say that is because if I'm praying for Father Lawrence or for Grace or for my wife, sometimes it's hard to hear the Holy Spirit because I know them so well. And I feel like I already know what their needs are and I know how to pray for them because I'm living life with them, you know. But when I come up to a perfect stranger, I don't have a clue what's going on in his life. And the only thing I can hear is what I hear from the Holy Spirit. We're here today to practice hearing from the Holy Spirit. And this is the way it's going to work. So we're going to break into teams of three. And I think the best way to do this is that the three of you join hands. And what you're going to do is you're going to pick somebody to be prayed for first. And so the one person is the first one to be prayed for, so that means the other two are going to pray for them. And after you exhaust whatever the Holy Spirit has for that person, then you rotate around and you pick somebody else to be the one that's being prayed for, and the other two pray for that one. And you keep doing that until all three people have been prayed for. Does that make sense? Okay. Again, I'm going to give you some of my experience. Debbie and I are not going to be in one of the groups. We're going to be kind of going around listening to what's going on, maybe guide you a little bit, help you a little bit in this process. It may be something different than you've ever done, and so we'll kind of watch and listen. And after we finish, then we're going to come back together, and we're going to have testimony time, and we're going to hear what the Lord was doing and some of the things that happened while you were praying for folks. If your group finishes praying before everybody else does, then don't leave because you don't know when we're going to end this and when we're going to want everybody back. So if you can, don't leave. But do sit quietly. Just sit quietly in a prayerful atmosphere. Don't talk or anything. You don't want to disrupt what else is going on, okay? I was doing this one time with a group of folks, and the guy we were praying for, Lord gave me a word for him, and it was a prophecy for him. And the prophecy said, the Lord says that the devil has been telling you you're too dumb to do this ministry that God has called you to do. But the Lord says you have everything you need to do what I've called you to do. And his eyes kind of shot open. He jerked up and, what are you talking about? No, that's not me. That's not me at all. And yet, next two or three days during this conference, I watched what was going on in his life. And it was obvious. As I got to know him and understand what he was trying to do, it was obvious that that's what was going on. He just couldn't receive it. So there are a couple of different kinds of failure modes. One is you have a word for somebody or a picture, and they don't have any idea what it is, or it's not for them. That's possible. You missed it. The other possibility is Lord has a word for them, and they just can't receive it. Sometimes that happens. We can't control that, okay? And that's what makes it difficult to learn, because sometimes you get that negative feedback and you think, oh, well, I must have missed it. And you really didn't. That's why it takes practice. We got to practice and practice and practice and just keep letting the Lord move until we can gain confidence that we're hearing from the Lord. When you're praying, let me suggest you do this. Start off, when you pick out who you're going to pray for, start off just very quietly worshiping the Lord, maybe praying in the Spirit, praying softly for them, for maybe a minute or two or three. What you're doing is you're waiting, listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Listening for the Holy Spirit to begin to speak. And you may pray for them quietly or in the Spirit or say nothing for a while until you hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Don't speak to them. Don't tell them something. Don't pray a prayer over them if you're not sure that you've heard from the, or you don't think that you've heard from the Holy Spirit. Remember, we're practicing, so it's okay to say, well, I think this is what the Holy Spirit said, so I'm going to try this, okay? Also keep in mind that it may take both of you together to have the word that that person needs or the message that that person needs. And one of you will get one picture, and somebody the other will get another picture, and then they don't have a clear vision of what it is until they get both those pictures. So don't get discouraged. Don't get impatient. We'll probably pray for maybe 30 minutes, something like that. That should give us about 10 minutes with each person on the average. Everybody understand? Anybody have any questions about that? Now, before we break into prayer, what I'd like to do is let's take some time to worship the Lord, praise the Lord. If somebody wants to lead in some singing, if you need to go to the bathroom or get a drink, now's the time. And then come back before we finish worshiping, okay? And let's invite the Spirit of the Lord here and praise. One last rule, if you will. If you don't want to do this, you don't have to. But you probably need to go out in the lobby or something so you're not disturbing what else is going on. Does that make sense? Okay? And it's going to be exciting to see what God does today.
I wish we had recorded some of the testimonies that came after this practice session for the School of the Prophets. Almost everybody that was involved had some kind of miraculous experience. They either gave testimonies of words that were given to them or miracles that had happened as the other people prayed for them. Or, and what was most exciting to me, was all the folks that were testifying about how they had either never been used by the Holy Spirit, none of the gifts had ever flowed through them, but today they had, and they had actually watched it move through them, and they were so excited. One of the ladies said that she had been used in intercessory prayer, and she thought that was the only gift she could operate in. But she learned today that she could operate in two or three others, and she said, "This inspires me. I want to go for everything God has. I want God to be able to move in me with every gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to start seeking the Lord for that." One lady said, "I usually sit in the background and just kind of watch others, but now I know that I too can minister. The Holy Spirit can use me too to touch people's lives and change people's lives. I'm going to quit sitting in the background and I'm going to get out and get involved." I'm hoping the Lord opens up doors so that we can take this School of the Prophets kind of teaching and practice sessions to other churches and ministries here in the area. It is just so exciting to see the saints energized and ready to go to work in the kingdom of God.